This is Candace Knight of Blackmore's Night.
Hi, we're in sync.
I'm Allie from A Fine Frenzy.
Folks, this is Jimmy Durant.
Hi, I'm Billy Squire.
Hi, we're the Go-Go's.
You're listening to The Sounds of Christmas
podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to The Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. The best Christmas albums is a topic I haven't really wanted to get into on this podcast. It's very subjective, and there's no particular criteria you can use to measure what album is better than another, unless you want to try sales or streams, but even that really doesn't do it. So I've left it alone, and then Entertainment Weekly came along this week with an article about the 25 best Christmas albums of all time. I invited Glenn from the Seasons Eatings podcast and Scott from the Holly Jolly Xmasu podcast on to talk about this. Thank you both for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Ken.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Before we get started, I'd like you each to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about what your podcast is all about for anybody who hasn't met you yet. Glenn, why don't you start?
I'm Glenn Warren, the host of Seasons Eatings, the podcast which explores the history and origins of Christmas foods. So I've been, for the last four seasons now, I've been exploring Christmas foods around the world.
And Scott?
I host Holly Jolly Xmasu. It's all about Japanese Christmas music. Each episode, I listen to and talk about an episode or an album from my personal collection and try to give you some interesting background on the artist and some of the songs that are contained on the album. I'm into my fourth season, so if you get a chance, check it out.
Now, I don't want to spend this whole episode just trashing Entertainment Weekly or their list. And in fact, overall, it's not a bad list. But there were a couple things, maybe more than a couple on there, that surprised me. And I can think of plenty that at least I think should be on a list like this. So first, what did you guys see on this list that you aren't so sure really belongs? Glenn?
Only there's one or two that I thought I'm not familiar with. Hopefully I'm saying his name right. Sufjan Stevens?
I think that's correct.
I'm not familiar with the artist. I've never heard of their music. So that was the only one for a best Christmas album. It's totally over my head for that one. The other one is Willie Nelson's Pretty Paper. I know it's a great song, but I didn't think the album would be worth noting to be on the list. That was just my opinion.
I do want to say that I sort of threw this podcast episode together very quickly and invited you guys. I invited a couple others who just couldn't make it. It's Thanksgiving week. That's hard. But Adam from the Merry Britmas podcast said, "I'll not hear any Sufjan hate. He's an icon, and his Christmas albums make me feel deep things. I wrote about a song for an online blog project covering every single Sufjan Christmas song." So obviously, he has an audience. I had a similar reaction, though, because I just feel like if you're saying the best Christmas album of all time, that it should be something easily accessible for most people. And I just think that Sufjan is so eclectic. You know, 30 years ago, they would have called it alternative. I'm not sure if there's a genre that he belongs in or just one, really. But I find it hard to believe that that album, and I know that there are a lot of, don't email me, I know there are a lot of people who love it, but it's just hard to believe that that would show up that high on a list like this. So, like, yeah, I'm with you on that. Willie Nelson, I think, is a little bit of an acquired taste.
I think,
because I know he's got legions of fans, and he wrote Pretty Paper. He's written probably over 1,000 songs. But yeah, I can see that. There was another one on there that I feel is similar, and I'll get to that in a sec. Scott, how about you? What did you find that was on this list?
For Adam's sake, I probably shouldn't give my honest opinion of Sufjan Stevens. I really like the spirit of what he did. I listened to the entire album at least twice all the way through when I got it, and I don't remember it. So that was one that really surprised me. She and him, you know, if you're doing a greatest albums of all time, there has to be some longevity to what you're including. And if it hasn't been around like 15 or 20 years, it's kind of hard to say it's the greatest of all time. And she and him, I liked the album. I wouldn't put it anywhere near a top 25 list, but yeah, that was a big surprise for me. And Norah Jones, I absolutely love that album, but I heard a song from it today on Sirius, and I think that's the first time I've heard it played outside of a record store. Fantastic album. It just, I don't think it's had the chance to, you know, be around long enough to be included on a list like this.
Yeah, I think it came out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's tough to say that an album that has only been out for 2 years is one of the 25 best of all time. That's tough.
And that's tough, the question, yeah. I have too. What is the criteria that they're basing the 25 best? Is it based on album sales, based on plays, based on, you know, obviously this is Entertainment Weekly, so it's a North American production or a company. So they're obviously very North American centric. So best albums of all time from North America might have been a better title.
You know, the article, I think there's like two paragraphs at the beginning before they jump into their list, and nowhere does it say anything about the criteria that they used, whether it was sales, whether it was airplay, whether it was streams or downloads or views on YouTube or some kind of combination. It doesn't say any of that. And a lot of those metrics aren't really good gauges for something like this, because there's a big argument going on about Billboard giving streaming so much weight in their lists, because an artist can have a legion of fans that will just put it on repeat and leave it on overnight. And you get, you know, a few hundred, few thousand people doing that, and suddenly you've got the number one song on the Billboard chart. And does it really belong? But this article doesn't say that there's any kind of criteria. It could very well be the woman who wrote it. It just could be her feelings on it. And, you know, it's that makes it really subjective. And it's just,
plus a lot of these albums are, well, a lot of them are 20, 30, 40, 50, 70 years old.
Yeah.
And again, if you're just basing it off sales, you have some sort of, you don't have a, you know, a 70-year-old record doesn't have the same amount of sales as a 5-year-old record.
Right. It's tough to really look at this without it being just sort of a conversation piece, because it's not, it's not any sort of legitimate list. It couldn't be. The first glaring thing that I noticed on this was that Mannheim Steamroller's first album, Christmas, is on the list, which I have no problem with. I think that's a terrific Christmas album, but they used the artwork for the wrong album on this. And I just thought, come on, this is Entertainment Weekly. If you're going to put the album on there, shouldn't somebody check? I mean, you go to any streaming service and you look it up and you see the album cover. The research doesn't have to go that far. The other thing that kind of surprised me on this list was Bob Dylan, Christmas in the Heart. I like Bob Dylan, but I think as far as one of the best Christmas albums of all time, I feel a little bit like we were talking about Willie Nelson. I feel a little bit like, I don't know, it's an acquired taste. What the author of this article did say was, listeners who are willing to suspend their disbelief and or decades of Dylan snobbery might just find that the record offers plenty of magic for the holidays. And that's not wrong. It is a kind of a throwback to almost like the Christmas music of Mitch Miller, even, if you can believe that. But is it one of the best Christmas albums of all time? I find that a difficult argument. And the other thing is, it's only like 13, 14 years old. And, you know, it's the same sort of thing. It's not that I'm anti-new music, but it's hard to... How do you put that up against Bing Crosby, whose Christmas album is 70-something? Maybe older. I'm not sure. I was told there'd be no math. but it's hard to do that. And then you have Tyler, the Creator. Music inspired by Illumination and Dr. Seuss's The Grinch. This is, first, it's not an album, it's an EP. And the two songs that he did for The Grinch aren't on this. They're on the soundtrack. And yeah. I'm like, how is this one of the best Christmas albums of all time?
Well, see, I think someone paid the Entertainment Weekly a little stipend to put that in there.
Well, and I also kind of wonder about the amount of research they did into some of this, especially when I got to Nat King Cole and, you know, the album that they picked was The Magic of Christmas. And they went on and on about the Christmas song, which isn't on The Magic of Christmas. It was on, you know, the re-release, which was the Christmas song.
Yeah, it does seem like this is a little bit sort of slapped together. I don't know how you can put Tyler, the Creator and Nat King Cole in the same short list.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against Tyler, the Creator. I'm sure that Tyler has tons of fans and there are probably people who love this EP, but to have it as one of the best of all time, I find it difficult to believe. It's like the Los Lobos album that's on this. That came out just a few years ago. Llegó Navidad. I like it. There are a couple of songs on it that I like a lot, but it just seems out of place. If this was a top, I don't know, a top 100 list, I could see that coming in somewhere in the back 50, maybe. But right. depending on the criteria, which is never explained. So I don't know. Was there anything else from either of you that before we get to our own picks, that you had some qualms about?
Well, if we're picking hairs, I mean, the Louis Armstrong and Friends Best of Christmas Songs. Louis Armstrong was big in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. How could this be a 2011 album? It's just a rehashing of his music.
Yeah.
And you're making it into a new album, quote unquote, and calling it one of the best Christmas albums.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're playing fast and loose with a lot of the terminology they use.
Well, and I honestly, Barbara Streisand's Jingle Bells, I think, should disqualify her from any best of list.
She's following the tradition of Jewish Christmas writers.
You know, it's funny. Her version of Jingle Bells was on a very short list of the most hated Christmas songs. I mean, this was about 15 years ago. And the only other two songs that I remember on the list were Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer and the Singing Dogs Barking Jingle Bells. And that was a list that was sent to radio stations warning them that playing these songs makes people change the station.
I don't mind Barbara Streisand's Jingle Bells, but it's I don't listen to it all the time.
Yeah, I don't. I play it, but I don't play it. I don't. It doesn't have a whole lot of. It's not in a high rotation, and I haven't noticed. I've been doing the Sounds of Christmas station since 2007. I haven't noticed any real fluctuation in listeners when that song gets played. I don't play "Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer," by a reindeer, or the dogs barking Jingle Bells, because I worked in radio. In traditional radio long enough to know that those are songs that make people go away. And it's too hard to get people to listen, especially to an online radio station, and then to hope that they come back if you play something that they hate, that's tough. So I don't do that. But I haven't seen that kind of reaction from Barbra Streisand. And she, and her album was up high on their list. It was in the top 10. That did surprise me that it was up that high.
Considering Mariah Carey was number 16, and she's been, the song has been number one for what, 20 years?
Yeah, 30. Yeah.
All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah.
So, yeah, who knows?
But again, they obviously, they didn't use sales. And I have one of my picks to, which really underscores that point that we'll get to in a sec. But how many albums did each of you come up with that you think should be on a list like this?
I stopped myself at 20.
You made your own top 20.
Yeah. Well, I picked like the five best, and then I picked some others that aren't necessarily in order. So I didn't want to go too crazy, though.
Glenn, how many did you come up with?
I was a bit more prejudiced. I don't know what the word is. I only came up with like six. Okay. Six or seven.
I came up with 17 or 18. and not just because I can't follow my own directions, but because I had asked each of us to come up with five. But I also wanted to make sure I had enough so that if you guys had picked all of mine, I would still have something left over. So, Scott, you want to go first? Let's start with five.
Chris Stamey's Christmas Time, the various releases over the course of what, 30 years?
Yeah.
It's a fantastic compilation. I love the history of it, the way it started as, you know, just this little LP that came out in 1986. And then every time that he revisits it, you know, it changes. He adds songs. It has some really standout songs on it. A lot of them aren't real familiar to people, but it's something that is just really worth, you know, it's worth finding a copy and listening to it, because it's good music. It's a lot of original music, and just what he's done with it over the years, I really enjoy that. And just, you know, based on the frequency that he's revisited it, he should be due for another one in a couple years.
Aren't the DBs on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I played Christmas Time from them earlier today. That's got to be one of my favorites every year. Mm-hmm. Every year I've got to play that. It's just such a great Christmas song.
Yeah. Well, and one or two of the songs on the original release, you can only get it on the vinyl. The copies that you find online, either they're not there or they're re-recordings. So I spent several years getting a copy of everything.
Nice. Glenn, what would you add to this list?
One of them I picked was the Boney M. Christmas album. I listened to that incessantly in the 70s and 80s.
You know, for years, Mary's Boy Child was one of the biggest Christmas songs. And I don't know what happened in the last, like, 15, 20 years, hardly ever hear it on on traditional radio anymore.
Hmm.
But for years, it was every year you could just count on hearing that.
They still tour. The new version of the band still tours, and they still sell out, and people still love the music.
Yeah. 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 I could see that. One of mine that I was really surprised wasn't on this list, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Christmas Eve and Other Stories, their first album. That's the one that had Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224. And it was a groundbreaking album because nothing like that. It was noisy, heavy metal rock with ballads and classical music and Christmas. And it was huge. And they're still touring. Their second album is 25 years old this year, and they're out on the road doing a big tour. And I was really surprised that they weren't in this list at all. And they show up on end of the year charts for Christmas music every year. So I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I'll probably say that at the end of every one of these choices. I don't know. Why isn't that on the list? I don't know. I don't know. How about another one, Scott?
I would go with a Christmas record from Z Records, the 1982 compilation that, you know, it's the first place we heard Christmas rapping by the Waitresses. Had Christmas on Riverside Drive by, what's his name? He ended up going by Kid Creole as well.
August Darnell, I think.
August Darnell. Yeah. It's, you know, there's some stuff on there that isn't for everyone, but for as different as it was at the time and how kind of representative it was of a certain segment of music that was coming out then, I just think it is just a fantastic album.
And when I started doing the Sounds of Christmas, the first few years, I was on Live 365, which then went away and it came back. It's not the same anymore. But in those early years, on the little player for your station, there was a thing where you could give thumbs up or thumbs down to songs. And I could compile weekly lists of the most popular songs. And Christmas on Riverside Drive was one of the top 10 songs every week for the first, I don't know, first 3 or 4 years.
Oh, wow.
that I could do that. And I was so surprised because I liked it, but couldn't remember hearing it on the radio, except maybe in the early 80s when that album came out. But people love it. So, yeah, I could see that on a list like this. How about another one from you, Glenn?
I'm going to go a little bit more modern. Kelly Clarkson's Wrapped in Red album, I think it's from 2013. Mm-hmm. I mean, the title song is sort of that Phil Spector Wall of Sound type of vibe. And I mean, it's a decent album overall.
Yeah. Underneath the Tree is very strong. I feel like that has a good chance of being the next kind of Christmas standard. The next All I Want for Christmas Is You, if you will. It's big. People are starting to cover it. And it also has that wall of sound vibe to it. But yeah, I Kelly Clarkson, even though it's only 10 years old, I think that's one that will stand the test of time. I had two comps on my list. The first one is Little Stevens Underground Garage Christmas A Go-Go. It's such a great collection of Christmas songs. Keith Richards' Run Rudolph Run is on there. This was the first place you could get it on a CD. Bob Seger and The Last Herd, which was before the Silver Bullet Band, with Socket to Me Santa is on there. The Ramones, The Kinks, Darlene Love, All Alone on Christmas, a song I think was in one of the Home Alone movies first, but then everybody knows it from Love Actually. Len Price 3, Roy Wood and Wizard, Brian Setzer, The Boss Martians, and Joe Pesci. How can you go wrong with this song from Joe Pesci? It's such a great mix of terrific Christmas songs. And I think the only compilation that was on their list was the Phil Spector A Christmas Gift for You. And I'm not knocking that. That's a great record. But I think that was the only comp that was on there. Scott, how about another one?
I went with A Twisted Christmas from Twisted Sister.
That's great.
Well, you know, there's a lot of, you know, like heavy metal and hard rock Christmas albums out there. But this is the only one that, at least I feel, where they weren't doing it for a buck. They were really trying to put out a great Christmas album. And it's one that, came out, I think, 2006. We have played the heck out of it ever since.
And
Rob Halford's Christmas album too, the Judas Priest guy. He has a good Christmas album.
Yeah. You know, the Twisted Sister one, when I heard that was coming out, it made me laugh. And I thought it was going to be sort of a joke kind of thing. And it's not. It's not. It's a really good rocking Christmas album. There's not a bad song on it.
Well, and the video for Oh Come All You Faithful. you can't not love that.
Yeah. Glenn, how about another one?
I'm going to go back a little bit and Burl Ives' Have a Holly Jolly Christmas, because I grew up watching all the animation with Burlize as the snowman, and I had that album when I was a kid, and so I used to listen to it all the time. And then he's grown up with like many generations of Christmas listeners.
Yeah, I had the Rudolph soundtrack on my list a little bit farther down, and I thought, you know, I went back and forth on it because I thought, well, is this just a nostalgia, a nostalgia addition to the list, or is it really one of the greatest? Would I say it's one of the greatest? And I thought, you know, I'm not going to go through Christmas without hearing Holly Jolly Christmas, Burlive's version. Lots of people have done it since then, but not going to go through that. And there's Rudolph and Silver and Gold, and you know, it's a great fun record that is a slice of childhood, and I love it. The other comp that is on my list is called the Christmas Soul Special, and I still don't know if this was based on an actual television special or if they just called it that, but it had Wilson Pickett, Mary Wells, Benny King, Martha Reeves, Sam Moore from Sam and Dave, and Shirley Alston on it. And they each did two or three Christmas songs. And it's terrific. And this was from 1981, 1982, somewhere around there. So they all still had their chops, and they were good. Wilson Pickett's version of Silver Bells elevates this for me. It's just such a, he takes this song that we all know and really, really makes it his own. And it's just, oh, it's just outstanding. And I just love this record. And it goes in and out of print all the time and has for the last 40 whatever years. But there are, people have added it onto YouTube so you can find it. If you haven't heard this before, you should go check it out. And then you'll see that, yes, it does belong on a list like this. Yes, it does. Scott?
One that I cannot believe hasn't gained more of a following over the last several decades is June Christie's This Time of the Year. It is just such an amazing album, entirely originals. And she had an unbelievable voice, and just I didn't know about it until Amazon had it as part of one of their advent calendar deals years and years ago when they still did that. So I saw it was like a 99 cent download for the whole album. And I think that was the first time I'd actually heard anything off of it. Occasionally SiriusXM's Holiday Traditions will play one, maybe two songs from there, but it's just not one you hear a lot. And it's right up there with, you know, Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald. I mean, any of those other albums coming out around the same time, she's just fantastic.
Yeah, about an hour ago, I played The Merriest, June Christie doing The Merriest. And I just wanted to check. Nobody's going to know. It's silly that I even did that. But I just know I just heard that. Yeah, there's some great songs on that, a lot of great songs, and they're originals. Jane Monheit did a Christmas album that came out last year, and she covered The Merriest. And hardly anybody covers any of these songs, and it's a shame because they're really good. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. It's, you know, it's just one of those things that it slowly falls through the cracks. And I hope other artists like Jane go to this well and cover some of these songs and keep them alive. But I think I agree with you. That's a great record. Glenn, have we exhausted your list, or you still?
Oh no, not at all. I'm going to go back to my roots, because this one's more of a personal thing. But they did have certified gold record sales. The Chieftains did an album called The Bells of Dublin back in 1991. And it's not a compilation album, but they had a whole bunch of guest artists. So there was a song done with Elvis Costello, one with Marianne Faithfull, one with Ricky Lee Jones. Even Burgess Meredith is on this album.
I forgot about that.
It's just my Irish heritage, and it's just more nostalgia for me. But I mean, 500,000 sales can't be wrong.
Right, right. And again, we don't know what criteria. I don't want to just keep beating that dead horse, but we don't know what they used to come up with their list. My next one is Josh Groban's album Noel from 2007. That was the biggest selling album of the year. Not the biggest selling Christmas album, the biggest selling album of the year. So if you're looking at sales, how can this not be on that list?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I mean, I know he's on Broadway now doing Sweeney Todd, which is a long way from the Polar Express. But Noel was, it's a beautiful album. There's a couple duets on there, but mostly it's him. He has a terrific voice, and it's just so very Christmassy. And this is from 2007, so it's been 16 years now, which I think is long enough for it to...
Well, and you still hear it constantly around Christmas.
Yeah, you still hear it. So it's got legs. It's still around. But I absolutely think it should be on a list like this. Scott?
So my next one, and this is one that I thought was one of the biggest glaring omissions on EW's list. The best Christmas album from the last 44 years, John Denver and the Muppets, A Christmas Together.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Even if you're not a Muppets fan, even if you know,
or a country fan.
Yeah. If you did not grow up with the Muppets, you listen to that album and, you know, the originals from Paul Williams are just fantastic songs. But if, you know, go back to 1979 when John Denver was one of the most popular people in the country, the Muppets were at the height of their popularity, and them coming together and putting out this album, it was the top selling Christmas album of 1979. And I can't tell you how many times we played it that year. My mom's always played Christmas music year round. And for probably the next 7-8 years, we heard it regularly all throughout the year. And it's one that you tend not to hear much from it anymore.
Yeah. And I don't know why. I mean, I know John Denver has been gone for, I don't know, 20 some years now, but the Muppets are still around.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly reinventing themselves. And I should mention also that Mike from Advent Calendar House said to tell everybody that John Denver and the Muppets got robbed.
I'm surprised Tim from Can't Wait for Christmas didn't say that either.
And you know, not a year goes by that whenever I hear any version, anybody doing the 12 Days of Christmas, when it gets to 5 Golden Rings, I'm expecting to hear Miss Piggy, ba-dum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
Every time. And that's from that album. It should definitely be on this list. Glenn?
I mean, we talked about the, again, criteria, but there's so many Canadian artists I could just throw out there that I love to listen to. I mean, Anne Murray has a great Christmas album. Sarah McLachlan has a great Christmas album, but there's one that I listen to because I'm originally from Newfoundland, and it's only from, I think, 2018. So it wouldn't be, I guess, the best Christmas album, but it's the best for me. And it's a band called Rum Ragged Christmas, and it's a traditional folk band here from Newfoundland. And it's all just sort of Irish folk medley Christmas songs, plus a lot of covers of the classic songs as well. So it's just a good toe-tapping Christmas album.
Okay, for my next one, I'm going to cheat and do two, because they're both from 2008. Al Jarreau's Christmas album that was just called Christmas, and Tony Bennett with Count Basie Big Band, A Swingin' Christmas. These are giant Christmas albums, and the Al Jarreau, he had not missed a step. He was still so smooth, and it was so cool. And it's one of the best versions of the Christmas song. And he really takes it and makes it his own. And it's just so cool. And the Tony Bennett record is it really is a swinging Christmas. It opens with I'll Be Home for Christmas, and it is the most toe-tapping version of that song you've ever heard. Usually, it's a very slow ballad. He recorded this the song before. That version's more traditional. But this one, he's got the Count Basie big band, and they are jamming. And this is just a fun Christmas party of an album. I don't know. And Tony Bennett is another one. You don't hear his Christmas stuff on traditional radio anymore, which is sad. But this is only, trying to do the math real quick, this is only 15 years old, and it should absolutely be on a list like this.
Well, and I was a huge fan of Moonlighting when it was on. So when I heard Al Jarreau's album was coming out, I mean, I bought it the first day, took it home, and I just listened to it over and over again. That is such a wonderful album.
Yeah, it is absolutely. It's a terrific album, and every year I try to squeeze in as many tracks as I can from it, because I think it is just that good, and should be on. Should be on this list. Entertainment Weekly, I hope you're jotting all these down so that you can you can fix your list. Scott, what's next?
I will say, I left off any Japanese albums. I have several that, I can think of four off the top of my head that could have been like the top four of a greatest 25 list. But for something that most people would have access to, Squirrel Nut Zippers Christmas Caravan. That came out.
Squirrel Nut Zippers, yeah.
What's that? Yeah.
Definitely Squirrel Nut Zippers.
I think 98. And that was one that I just loved it the first time I played it. I've had it on cassette. I've bought the streaming version. I had the CD, and now I've got the vinyl. It is just one of my favorite albums ever.
Hey, boy, get that stocking out of your mouth. Yeah, I love that too. I think that's a great album. Glenn?
Similar to that, the Squirrel Nut Zippers, the Brian Setzer Orchestra. Brian Setzer, he was with the Stray Cats in the 90s and then did a whole bunch of Christmas albums. I think he had one in 2002, and then he had another one in 2005 and another one in 2008. So he does a whole bunch of compilation, live band, big band stuff. And just, again, jumping on the dance floor type of Christmas album. It's great.
He did, I think it was, he did a few songs on the Jingle All the Way soundtrack in the late 90s. And I remember hearing those and I thought, man, I wish I could give this guy a call and beg him to put out a Christmas album. And then a few years later, he did. And it is so great. If he does a Christmas show anywhere near you and you can go, you will not be sorry. It is a fun time. He does this really cool version of The Grinch that's mixed in with a Stray Cat song that I can't remember if it's Stray Cat Strut or Rock This Town, but it's seamless mixed in together, and it's just such a fun show. And I was so glad he did on the Jingle All the Way. He did a song with Lou Rawls. He did a song with I think two songs with Darlene Love, and it's great. I don't know if that soundtrack is still out there or not. If it is, grab it, because those are such fun songs too. I was really surprised. I'm going to cheat and do two more again. that neither of these guys were on this list. Johnny Mathis, Christmas Eve with Johnny Mathis, 1986. That was his fourth Christmas album, but it's the one that has It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. It's the Most Wonderful Time of Year. We Need a Little Christmas. It's Christmas Time Again. All those iconic Johnny Mathis Christmas songs that we still hear today. And I can't believe that he wasn't on this list. And I'm so proud of myself for not saying it should be his second Christmas album that was called Sounds of Christmas. Andy Williams, the other one. How can Andy Williams not be on their list? The Andy Williams Christmas album from 1963, Happy Holiday, the Holiday Season. It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Songs, again, that we still hear today. And neither Johnny Mathis nor Andy Williams are on the list, this list of the top best 25 Christmas albums of all time. How is that possible?
Yeah, when I did my extended list, I was like, okay, do I do Andy Williams or Johnny Mathis? And the only thing that put it over the top is that It's a Most Wonderful Time of the Year is my ringtone. So,
but which version? Is it Johnny's version or Andy's version?
Oh, it's Andy's.
Okay.
It's from the old Staples commercial. Every year when I take the kids school supply shopping, my school supply shopping playlist is Andy Williams, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, over and over and over.
I must say, that was a brilliant marketing strategy. Just brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Scott, what you got next?
I'll go with Buck Owens, Christmas with Buck Owens and his Buckaroos. He had three Christmas albums. Any of them could go on the list, but his first one is my favorite. And, you know, there's a lot of really great country Christmas albums out there, but I don't think there's too many that really approach Buck Owens. I mean, everything he did was original. He had that unique sound to him. I absolutely adore all of Buck Owens' Christmas music.
Yeah, I think on Entertainment Weekly's list, there were only two country entries, Willie Nelson and Kenny and Dolly.
Yeah, where's Gene Autry? He sang Rudolph.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right? Glenn, what's next for you?
One is just for sort of party vibes that I like, similar to the Beach Boys one, The Ventures, their Christmas album. It's all instrumental, but it's great to have in sort of that cocktail party in the background music, the sort of heavy guitar sort of laden.
Yeah, The Ventures, it was, I don't know if that's the first cool Christmas album, but it's probably one of the first. It's just a lot of fun, and you can have it on in the background, although there's some of the tracks that will not stay in the background and will demand your attention. But but yeah, The Ventures Christmas album is a great one. Next for me, coming forward in time a little bit anyway, Harry Connick Jr., When My Heart Finds Christmas, his first Christmas album, 1992. He was just becoming a name. He'd done the When Harry Met Sally soundtrack and had exploded onto the scene. And he did this Christmas album, and the title track is an original song and was all over the radio for years. He's done a bunch of Christmas albums since then. He did a new one last year, actually. Well, it was I don't know if they call it iTunes or Apple Music, but it was exclusive for there, and it may still be. And that was interesting because he revisited some songs that he'd done before and just did these himself acoustic. It was kind of like one of those pandemic sessions sort of things. But that first album, it was such a great mix of, you have the title song, When My Heart Finds Christmas, this lush ballad, and it goes right in with some of these very cool New Orleans jazz, toe-tapping fun songs, Parade of the Wooden Soldiers and Sleigh Ride and things like that. It's just a great, great album. Scott, what's next?
One I'll throw out there that I was shocked wasn't on the Entertainment Weekly list is The First, A Very Special Christmas.
Yeah.
That a lot of ink has been spilled over the years, giving that credit for reinvigorating the Christmas music market in America. Whether that is completely accurate or not, it was huge at the time. And it kind of like the Phil Spector album 20 years before that, it made Christmas music really cool again. And you started getting a lot more Christmas music being put out by the really popular artists, as opposed to people, you know, wait until later in their career.
Yeah. And I think it was, I mean, it does get credit for that. And it launched its own series of compilations that came out again and again with some of the biggest names in the music. But I think that first collection was a really strong release on its own without any of that additional stuff. Mm-hmm. Just that you had the Pointer Sisters and the Pretenders and Madonna and Bon Jovi and Run DMC. You had all of the big names, all the MTV names. It was huge. And there were some good songs on there that you still hear today. And yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Glenn?
I don't know if this is one that should be on a top best Christmas album list, but I'm going to throw it in anyway. It's Annie Lennox's Christmas Cornucopia. Mm-hmm. Only because it didn't do that great as a release for an album. She released it back in 2010, and it didn't do well in America. It did well in the UK. But the only reason I want to put it on the list is because of her great vocals, as well as she played over 25 different instruments on the album.
Yeah.
That was just surprising and impressive.
And it has, I don't know if it's my very favorite, but one of my most favorite versions of the Holly and the Ivy. Just beautiful.
Mm.
Just beautiful. That's outstanding. Okay, next for me, I'm going to put these two together. Just, they're not artists that are really that similar, but I feel the same about both the albums. Wilson Phillips' Christmas in a Harmony from 2010 and the Medieval Babes of Kings and Angels from 2014. Not that similar at all, except that the harmonies make these two of the most beautiful Christmas albums you're going to hear. I mean, the Wilson Phillips, very Beach Boys, Mamas and Papas, obviously, because obviously that's where they came from. But they take so many songs that you know and twist them to fit that style. And it's just beautiful. And the Medieval Babes, you may not know them, but they take some of the older classic Christmas carols. And they are just so beautiful. They had an album about 10 years before that called Mistletoe and Wine that is also really, really beautiful. And if that's the kind of thing that you're looking for in a Christmas album, just some beautiful music to listen to in the background. And, you know, I say beautiful music, and for some that makes you think of Ray Conniff or Percy Faith, and that's not really what I mean at all, but these two albums, Wilson Phillips and Medieval Babes, just beautiful Christmas records. Scott?
I have to go with Leon Redbone. His Christmas Island is one of my favorite albums ever. It was one of the albums when it came out that it got me so excited about going out and buying my own Christmas music. It's, you know, he had such a unique voice. His Frosty the Snowman with Dr. John.
Yeah.
You know, the video is great. The song is just one of my favorites. That's one that, you know, that's had a special place for me for, what, 35 years now?
Yeah, something like that. 87, 88, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. I was working in my first radio station when that came in. And I thought, oh, that is cool. Leon Redbone and Dr. John together. There was a big sticker on it that said Leon Redbone and Dr. John. And I thought the whole album was going to be the two of those, which would have been amazing. But it is just that song. But not to take anything away from the rest of the record, because it's terrific. It's very cool. If you like Leon Redbone, he really New Orleansizes. And that's not a word, but I don't care. All of these Christmas classics.
I say, and I always wish that him and Dr. John and Tom Waits would have done a Christmas song together.
Oh, that would have been fun. That would have been fun.
Most gravelly Christmas song ever, but it, just imagine the sound of the three of them on the same song would have been, that'd have been something else.
Glenn, do you have any left?
Just one more, probably. Again, more nostalgia for me. Anne Murray, I just briefly talked about her before. Anne Murray's Christmas album back in 1981, she released an album called Christmas Wishes. Again, it's more nostalgia. It did okay. It became double platinum in Canada, selling 3 million copies in the US, which is not bad.
Yeah, that ain't bad.
Yeah, so, and just, it's more, again, growing up with her and her music for me.
And the really cool thing about Anne Murray's Christmas album is that she did a second Christmas album, I think it was 2 or 3 years later, and then they packaged them together. So you could get a double CD and get both of these on the same thing, which is how I got it. And that was really cool. And it's a lot of great Christmas music. She has a terrific voice, and that was great. I'm going to cram a couple more together. Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, It's a Holiday Soul Party, 2015. Sharon Jones was a force to be reckoned with. This is a great classic R&B kind of Christmas album. And one of my favorites on this is called Just Another Song, which just another Christmas song, which just blends together almost every Christmas song you can think of, all crammed into like 3.5 minutes. And it's terrific. The whole album is really good. John Legend, Legendary Christmas from about 5 years ago. It's a great album. And this is one that has gone the deluxe route and then the super deluxe route. So he's added on some extra songs. And then he had a new single last year, the year before, called You Deserve It All, that I don't think was added onto this, but I think that's because he switched record labels. So he couldn't add on any more to the album that's at another label. But that's one that I definitely think should be on a list like this. And in along the same vein, Aretha Franklin, she did her first and only Christmas album in 2008 called This Christmas. She still had an amazing voice. And what I really love about this album is that when she was doing interviews, she said Christmas was a big deal at her house and all the family came and they would be making food and decorating and listening to Christmas music. And it just dawned on her that they should be listening to her Christmas music, but she didn't have a Christmas album. So she made one. So I thought that's great. And it's terrific. Hark the Herald Angels Sing and Angels We Have Heard on High are two of the highlights for me, because it just is such a great example of what an amazing voice she had. So there, I cheated and did three that time. Scott, you have any left?
I'd go with the Ramsey Lewis Trio's Sounds of Christmas.
Ooh, nice. Thank you.
Appropriate.
Yeah.
I love, you know, good jazz Christmas music. And it's such, you know, it's a great album. It's one that, because I've got some stuff that's a little out there, but Ramsey Lewis Trio is something that, you know, even if you're not a big fan of jazz, that's one that you can really sit down and enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a fun one. And I know he did like a follow-up or a sequel or something like that, mm-hmm. A couple years after that one. And that was good too, but I think the first one is they're both good. It's Ramsey Lewis.
Yeah.
They're both really good. Glenn, do you have any left?
No, I think I'm full.
Okay. Okay. I've got one left. Amy Grant, A Christmas to Remember from 1999, her third Christmas album, has the title track, has Christmas Can't Be Very Far Away, and her cover of Mr. Santa, which if you haven't heard that, it's like Mr. Sandman, except it's Mr. Santa, and it's just so cute. She's not the first who did this. I had been told that Susie Boggess did it first, but that actually came a couple years later, but Dorothy Collins recorded this in 1955 first, back when Mr. Sandman was still probably on the radio. And I don't think she wrote it, but somebody had the idea and she recorded it. And it's been done a few years. But this is probably one of Amy's less popular Christmas albums. And I don't know why. I think that I think it's just such a great mix. There's also Jingle Bell Rock on here, and there's some others that you'll know. But A Christmas to Remember and Christmas Can't Be Very Far Away are just so beautiful, so pretty, and so Christmassy that I think this is one that you could put on and you will get that Christmas feeling when you listen to it. And I think that's a great reason for it to be on this kind of list. So there. For what it's worth, there's all of our two senses on what our list should be. And before we wrap up and end this, guys, do you have anything you want to tease about what's coming up on your podcast? Glenn?
Well, for the Burr months of the year, that is the months that end in B-E-R, I've been exploring the Christmas spices that we use every year for the holidays. So we just have one more to come, and that is ginger. So tune in to Seasons Eatings Podcast, and you can find me on all the socials at seasonseatingspodcast.com. And hopefully I'll hear you'll tune in soon.
Scott, what's coming up on Holly Jolly Xmasu?
I've got a lot of really great albums that I'm covering in November and December. Shoji Suzuki, who was one of the top jazz clarinetists in Japan. I've got three episodes about him. I've got some other fantastic stuff in December, including, you know, I mentioned before, I've got a short list of Japanese albums that would top just about anything that's ever been put out. One of those is Rockin' Xmas by Love Live Life. It's just an insane 1971, like funk and jazz fusion album. You'll be able to hear that on Christmas Day. You can listen to me just about anywhere you can find podcast streaming. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So, you know, check it out this month. You're going to hear some really great music.
And I'll put links down in the show notes to both of your podcasts so everybody can find them and click on over and check you guys out. Thank you both so much for spending so much time on something that was so very important.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ken.
And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I told you how to listen to the station, and you're already listening to the podcast, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page listing most, if not all, of the sites that stream our podcast. So you can find your favorite, click on over, subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.